We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and the Bible itself. Welcome to this time of studying the Word together. Complete and courageous prayer is Dr. Wilton's message today, and we'll be deepening our use of the tool of prayer and our understanding of how we truly can be more courageous and more complete in our everyday prayer life. As we study the Word together, know that we're here to pray with you and for you. We can do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org, or let's do it old school. We are taking your calls as well right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. It is our joy to pray with you and for you, and maybe connect to some free resources that will help you grow in your faith. Let's connect together. Now, Dr. Wilton.
It's a precious thing to be able to do that together. Here in our church in downtown Spartanburg, we are all in our own way participating in 40 days of prayer and fasting. Every one of us uniquely, individually, because God answers prayer. Prayer is the key. You and I need prayer. Our country desperately needs prayer. Our nation, this world, our homes, our lives, our circumstances. And God is listening, and He's given to us this incredible thing called prayer, conversation with Him. I want you to do that. I have to discipline myself to pray. You might say, well, you're the pastor, you just pray. It's a discipline. Because I, like you, we're busy, we're occupied. We have things to do, places to be. It's a discipline. Prayer is it's a doing word. You actually have to do it. We're not monks. We're not living in a cave somewhere. There's the hustle and bustle of life. And if you're like me, you'll wake up day by day and say, oops, I haven't had a time of prayer yet. So I'm going to just encourage you. And we do this together. And the reason we do this is because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. I'm going to ask us to say together our affirmation as believers. By the way, it's also printed on the underside even of this prayer brochure that we have prepared for you. And I want you to notice that the final statement, I am complete and courageous in Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's about Him. He's the one. You can depend upon Him because He loves you. This is our affirmation because of what Jesus has done for us. This is not me. This is He. It's Jesus. It's Jesus in me. Without Him, I'm nothing. I cannot do this. I have no answer. I'm going to struggle, search, but Christ is the answer. And if this is who you are, memorize this. This is right out of the heart of God's Word. Let's say this together. I am saved by His grace. I am instructed by His Word. I am equipped by His church. I am empowered by His Spirit. I am sent by His great commission. I am complete and courageous in Christ. Now watch this. I'm going to speak to you today about complete and courageous prayer. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts and chapter 4. This is an action-packed passage of Scripture. The book of Acts and chapter 4. I'm going to remind you about something. These early believers faced circumstances in life very similar to our own. They too were looking at a world in disarray. They too were battling with the politics of their day. They too were facing varying forms of persecution. They too were being isolated and intimidated. They too were wondering what their future would be. They too were asking a lot of questions. They too had families. They too had children in this world. They too suffered physically. They became weary. They were hungry. They had to provide, have an income, were struggling to make ends meet, were dealing with all the things and the issues that life presents to us. And right here in the Word of God, God tells us something about them. And today we're going to be focusing on being complete and courageous in and through prayer. So I'm going to read to you an incredible passage, Acts chapter 4 and beginning at verse 23. When they were released, I want to just stop there and preach for the rest of the morning on that one statement. When they were released, they went to their friends. Isn't that a beautiful statement? When they were released, they went to their friends. And they reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God. And this is what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together, coming against the Lord and his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace came down upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading from his word. This is just the loveliest passage. It's powerful. Even when I read the Word of God like that, and you may be experiencing the same thing, I just find God so refreshing my heart, and yet at the same time stimulating me and just compelling me to do exactly what it is that God shows us that we must do as believers, crying out to Him. It's all here. It's in the book. We are instructed by His word. It's as clear as anything. Don't miss this, please. I pray today that we would not miss this. This is the key to everything. This is the key to the wellness of our families, the upbringing of our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. It's the key to our church, to tomorrow. It's the key to our politics and to our national crises. It's the key to that lawsuit that we are facing. when we go to the Lord Jesus and we present it to Him, and when we pray together, I want you to notice a number of things. These early believers, they were an interesting group. Now, you'll remember earlier on, there was just one man who had encountered the Lord Jesus and his life changed forever. He became whole. He went walking and leaping and praising God. You know, it's an interesting thing when you understand what happened to this one man. It's almost unconscionable that such opposition would have come against them because one man's life was changed. It's like, hello. One of the most perplexing questions is, what is it about the joy of knowing Christ that causes such anger and hostility from those who don't? Lives are changed. I just think alone of tragedies around the world, tornadoes that come in and devastate communities like they do. You think of all the Christian-based organizations that rise up and just gather together and take care of needs just because they love Jesus, and yet the world has such a problem. It's just amazing that you can live in a world in which legislators and individual people are so bent on telling everybody else, do anything you want to, but don't Jesus on us. Isn't it amazing that you can be singled out for life imprisonment and even execution in parts of the world if you blaspheme against someone else's God? But every second Hollywood movie blasphemes the name of the Lord Jesus. It's hard to watch a movie today, even the mildest of movies, that are just stories in which at least one character's got to take the name of Jesus in vain, use his name as a cuss word. After they were released, you see what happened to these disciples. They did such a terrible thing. They went up to a man who was lame from his mother's womb, and they said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he stood up and he walked, and he was so whole, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. And if you read the scripture, boy, did they come against them. They were so fed up, angry, hostile. These people here who didn't know Jesus, they arrested them, they maligned them, they insulted them, they threatened them. Can you imagine the audacity of healing someone lame from their mother's womb? Who do you think you are? And in the name of Jesus? After they were released, three things happened to them. First of all, they went back to their own people. I love that. This week, all of us have been out and about. I certainly have. I feel like I've been everywhere all the time, every day. We've done a lot. You just think of one week. Think of the office and think of your commitment and think of that campus that you've been on and think of the journeying, the driving around in your motor car, stopping at ad infinitum red lights in your city that are never timed so that you can get through all of them at the same time, because we know you have to stop at every one of them, and some of them for at least 15 minutes before you can go to the next one. And then, when it does turn green, nobody goes because everybody's on their cell phone and don't notice it. You know, there's just something so wonderful about coming together with friends like this. Just a little while ago, I asked some of you to stand if you needed prayer, and scores of people stood. I just want you to know you stood among friends. You stood among a people who know what it means to really pray for you. They went back to their own people. They reported everything. They told them everything. Part of the fabric of prayer is sharing with us. You don't have to go to the point of sharing confidentialities. Doesn't suggest that you need to go to people or to friends or to your church and say, I need to tell you all that That's not what they are saying there. But they reported to them, if it's appropriate for you, say it. I've had several people this week, people that I love very dearly, many of whom I'm looking at today, who have come to me and said to me, Pastor, I'd like you to pray with me because this, and they've gone into great detail with me. That doesn't mean to say they're going to come into a gathering and say the same amount of detail, or they might have told you something. The fact of the matter is they reported everything. That's what happens when you come together to pray. You share together. Make your requests known. Feel free to say it. Don't hold back on telling people, you know something? I've been captive. I'm hurt. I'm scared. I'm afraid. We've got some dear people right now in hospital, right now as I speak, facing major surgery. We've got some people who have had surgery that are hurting so much that just cannot seem to get through what it was they had surgery for. We know people right now. They went back to their own people and they reported everything, and then they raised their voices in prayer. I mean, it's just a beautiful statement, the Bible. When they heard it, they lifted up their voices.
We love that, Bo. We hate to interrupt, but Dr. Don insists we let you know we're here for you. There is so much more of today's message on complete and courageous prayer coming up in just a moment. We'll be right back with that. But Dr. Don insists we remind you we're connecting on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Many calling about the free Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. We'd love to send that out to you. Or you can even sign up online right now for that and get it in your email box every single morning. The details are online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And discover more about who we are, a ministry that has a long history, a church rooted for the last 180 years in the absolute truth of God and God's Word, and the absolute truth of how proclaiming that changes our lives from the inside out. Again, more details online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, Complete and Courageous Prayer, with Dr. Don Wilton.
The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knows about you, and He knows about me. He knows us intimately, intricately, in the minutest detail. And complete and courageous prayer acknowledges who God is. This is not me coming saying, Lord, let me just let you know what I'm about to do for myself. Actually, prayer is the abdication of my ability and complete surrender to His divine ability. He's sovereign in all His ways. But complete and courageous prayer also quotes the words of God. I love this, you know, these folks who gathered together from verse 25, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said. It's wonderful to quote God at His word. Cultivate the habit of quoting Scripture as you pray. That doesn't mean to say that you've got to memorize it. Sometimes open your Bible when you're praying. And just read Scripture. This word is complete. Listen to it. 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast for all of Judah when he heard that a vast army was coming against his people. How about Ezra 8, 21 and 31? Ezra proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava for the exiles. God delivered them and gave them safety from their enemies. How about Nehemiah? Nehemiah fasted when he learned that Jerusalem was still in ruins. Moses, before he received the Ten Commandments, look what God did. David, mourning his child's illness. Anyone here have a, don't raise your hand, these are rhetorical questions, but anyone here have a sick child? You see, I'm asking that as a rhetorical question because I know we have quite a number of people who are really praying for their children. I tell you, you and I as big people can hurt physically. I'll tell you, when one of your little ones, when one of your children suffer physically, It's one of the deepest, most heart-wrenching, debilitating, agonizing experiences for a parent or a grandparent one can possibly imagine. You'll actually find yourself saying, "Lord, just give that to me rather than to my son, to my daughter. I can deal with this," but Elijah was trying to escape the crutches of Jezebel, prayed and fasted. There's someone who's after you. You facing a trial and tribulation? Is someone attacking you, going at you, making sarcastic comments every time you're in the office, belittling you, demeaning you? Is your work environment very deeply troubling? Does your boss look at you? Are you facing some kind of abuse? You don't know what to do with it? These things are very real. Prayer, complete and courageous prayer. Esther prayed and fasted for the safety of the Jewish people. Daniel, I love this. Daniel fasted for an answer to prayer. What about Jesus? Wow. Jesus, when he went into the wilderness after his baptism for 40 days. What about Jesus before he was crucified in the garden of his betrayal? Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life and testimony is just replete with him praying and fasting and crying out to God over and over and over again. Paul and Barnabas praying for the leaders in the church. Do you pray like that? Do we pray like that? So this, if we're going to try to get a handle on, here were these people, these believers, and they faced their world and they went back to their own people, into the church, the fellowship of God's people, and they told them what it was. They reported their need. They said, "This is what's been going on." And so they all raised their voices in prayer. They acknowledged who God is, and they began to quote the words of the Lord himself, and they remembered in their prayer the divine purpose of God. There's this tremendous affirmation that they said in the fabric of their prayer, "For truly this is what's happened, and we know it's according to your predestined determination. You planned this. You purposed all of this to take place because you love us. You love us. We're talking to the one who from before the foundation of the world put in place my life. I can't comprehend these things, but wow, that you and I are able to go back to our Heavenly Father, this one who knows everything. He knows about tomorrow. If God purposed the hand and the plan, how much more so does he know about me tomorrow? Is that not too wonderful that you and I can go to him and say, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand?" It's a very precious thing. Complete and courageous prayer calls for the intervention of God. Verse 29, Bible says, "Now, Lord, look upon this." Lord, would you intervene? Look at the threats. Look at the condition of the world. Look at what I'm dealing with. Look at my struggle. Lord, they've told me I'm not going to survive. Lord, look at this. Would you give ear? Would you intervene, please, Lord Jesus? Prayer is asking God to intervene. It's a very precious thing, the intervention of God. See, prayer pleads for the miracles of God. Bible tells us here, "While you stretch out your hand to heal and do great signs and wonders and miracles that you perform through Jesus." The miracle is something that only God can do. I wrote a little short book entitled Praying for a Miracle. It's a short book, to the point. Get it. There are thousands of people across the country. It's simple. It's easy to read. And it deals with the very fabric of what a miracle is. Your miracle and my miracle, Because a miracle is something that only God can do. That's what they were praying for right here. Would you stretch out your hand, Lord? Lord, can you see me? I've been diagnosed with this disease. Lord, can you see me? Can you see my circumstance? Can you understand, Lord, that I don't have a job? Would you stretch out your hand and get me a job? Please, Lord, put me to work. Please, Lord, would you heal the hurt of my marriage? Would you stretch out your hand? It's a beautiful picture of the embrace of God. It's God reaching down from the portals of heaven. Would you stretch out your hand to heal? Great signs and wonders. Would you perform God in our midst through all that Jesus is, because I'm complete and courageous in Christ. Complete and courageous prayer bears witness to a powerful response from God. I tell you, it's another subject. What a powerful response. What happened in this text? Well, just to begin with, the place was shaken. I'm praying that God would shake our place, that He'd shake my home where I pray, that He'd shake my office where I pray, that He'd shake our churches where we pray. He'd shake the space in which I pray. The place was shaken. They spoke with boldness. That's what happened when they prayed. They spoke with boldness. They were of one heart and mind. One of the singular, most critical issues for the church is the issue of unity. This is how you achieve that. You raise up spiritual leaders who understand what it means to speak boldly the truth of God, and you prostrate yourself in the presence of God, calling on His name, focusing on Jesus Christ, and He grants to you one heart and one mind. Doesn't take much in America to understand the meaning of dysfunctional disunity. There are hundreds of churches across America that are so disunified. Here's the key. This is it. Focusing in on the sovereignty of God and the Word of God and the divine purpose of God and the intervention of God and the outstretched hand that produce the miracles of God, it will always bear witness to the powerful response from God. Always. They testified about Jesus. The Bible says they were all endowed by His grace. Great grace came upon them all. It had a ricochet effect. It was so contagious. It's like they couldn't help themselves. Just people began to get blessed everywhere.
Our time's gone for today, but we've got a wonderful message from Dr. Don about spiritual leadership tomorrow on The Encouraging Word. Till then, stay connected online at theencouragingword.org, or we can connect with you at the end of 866-899-WORD.